Hallelujah. Let's stand together, please. The book of Genesis. We're dealing with a very familiar passage this morning, this afternoon, this time of the day, whatever it might be. I hate this thing. I think everything that has been said and done here today has really led to what the Lord has laid on my heart. He laid this message on my heart, actually, a long time ago when Brother David Roper was here and ministered for us. I done broke it. How'd I do that? And I wish to share it this afternoon. Brother Steve, you might have to help me here. I ain't sure how that piece goes in there. Need a rescue. What if I just clips in that little thing? Is that how that works? Yeah, it ain't broke, man.
Let's see which way we're going to put it.
It doesn't matter where you put it. You put it, it'll stay. Let's put it in that pocket. Okay. I got a new suit, and they got it buttoned up like Fort Knox. There it is.
All right.
Yeah. It wouldn't take long. Let me put this in there, Mr. Dean. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm ready now.
I'm going to set you up over here.
Okay, click on this side if you want. I hate that thing. I feel like I'm getting married. All right. Praise God. Brother Doug read the passage standing up this afternoon, and it's one of my most familiar and favorite passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about the coming of the Lord, that time should not take us overwhelm us. It shouldn't be something that we are not prepared for, something that we do not expect. We should be able to see it. The seasons and the times, Paul writes, says, you have no need for me to write unto you. You know, you should know those times. You should know what the seasons are and what's about to take place. And personally, I feel, and I think the Scripture backs up, and I believe you feel, that we're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. I believe God's about to come. I believe that passage is a thief in the night. It's just about to take place. I believe it is around the corner. I personally believe it is very, very, very soon. And I wish to share a little bit about that. Genesis chapter 7. Read a couple of verses here this afternoon in standing. Genesis chapter 7, verses 11. I'm going to read clear down to verse 19. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wives, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark to and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as the Lord had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and all the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole earth were covered. Can you say amen to the word of God?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I wish to share a very simple point. I point out very quickly in the title of the message, a single verse. Verse 18, the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. specifically and more modern English, if I may, specifically, and the waters were great upon the earth, and the boat floated. And I'd like to share and title the message this afternoon, Will Your Boat Float? Will your boat float? In the face of judgment, will your boat float? There's a trend that I've been seeing and hearing among the messages. I've went back and listened and trying to get caught up. I don't want to be, I'm not separate from this church. Brother Mac told me this afternoon, I'm glad you're home. I hope you didn't put any roots back down in West Virginia. And I'm glad to be here. Well, if it makes you feel any consolation this afternoon, my mom said, well, I hope you don't put any roots. And I hope you're just there for the Lord having time. So to be honest, I'm where the Lord wants me. If the Lord moves me, I'll move. But it won't be at their whim, and it won't be at your whim. And if I stay, it won't be at your whim, and it won't be at their whim. It'll be at the whim of the Lord. Because we are governed by the mentality and the direction of the Lord. And I will obey God wherever He sends me. And if He wants me to stay here, I'll be content with that. I'll be happy, and I'm glad to be here this afternoon. I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord. Matter of fact, I don't know if you realize how blessed you are. Man, there's Brother Doug, there's Brother Al, there's Brother Cottle, there's Brother Dan, and then there's sometimes even myself that is here. There's, you know how many churches would wish to have one of these fellas? Just one of these men that are here in the presence of the Lord and our families. God's really moving. He's doing great things in our midst. But there's one thing I heard Brother Woods preach long after I had all the Lord had already directed me in this direction, in this message with this thought. And then Brother Doug gets up the last two messages about not losing focus. And Brother Woods told us that we need to know what we know. I don't know how many Sundays or Wednesdays ago that was. Preached a parable. It was a Sunday afternoon, maybe. Wonderful message. Heard it on the internet there about that we need to know what we know and to be able to explain and defend who we are and where we're going and know our doctrines. And I want to ask you this morning, this afternoon specifically, if I can tie, I want to keep the title simple, and I like that title. It's a little catchy phrase there, isn't it? Will your boat float? And I want to keep it with that, but in connection with it, I want to ask you this question as well. In the face of judgment, will your boat float? I want to deal with this and take the passage and make some parallels, just about four simple things, and I don't believe it should take too long this afternoon, to just some principles that Noah had to face, that God does in the life of Noah, and make the application to our lives. Because in the same state, as the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're living in the hour, and it was with us. Okay, if that's the mentality of Noah's day, that's going to be then, and we believe we're there, and then we need to know what Noah knew. We need to think and see and react the way Noah reacted. Because the ultimate result is this. Noah's reaction saved him. Noah's reaction delivered him. Noah's action to God brought deliverance to his family. It saved the whole world because one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one that lived. And if that's the mentality of Noah in the face of judgment, the utter destruction of the whole world, of every creature, of every anything that had breath, was about to die in the face of that judgment. Noah had some decisions to make. Noah had some things that he needed to do, some actions he needed to perform. And when the ultimate day came, what Noah did would depend on whether the boat floated or not.
Oh, man.
The way Noah responded would depend on whether that boat sank or whether that boat floated upon the water. Whether it prevailed or whether it sank. I want to tell you the decisions that you and I are facing in the day of judgment is going to determine whether your boat will float or your boat will sink.
Yeah.
It'll depend on whether the Lord brings judgment or whether you make it and be saved by the Lord.
Amen.
We're living in an hour where we ain't got time to play church. We ain't got time to wonder about things. God's coming. The judgment is upon us. How are we going to respond in the face of judgment?
Yes.
Amen. It's all an interesting biblical demonstration. One time they had this great big glass box. They took and brought it to a small scale of Noah's Ark. They built it to the dimensions. They put everything in it that it would have been. They tried to balance the weight. They tried to do the best they could do, Brother John, to mimic exactly what Noah would do. And then what they did is they put a bunch of waves and they made that water in that glass box. It turned and it rolled and it flipped. Do you realize that there were probably a lot of boats in Noah's day? Did you ever think about it? There was water. They had rivers and seas and lands, and you know they fished. There was fish. Once upon a person asked me, what did Noah do with the fish? Well, he probably stayed out in the water. They probably stayed out there. We didn't need to bring the fish in. There were probably boats in those days. Now, I can't back that up. I don't have no proof. Don't have none of those boats. But in my personal opinion, not going to be dogmatic about it. But I believe there were some boats. I believe people utilized and God said that this is all for you. It's good to eat. Use of it. I believe there were some boats. But there was only one boat prevailed. Yes. There was only one thing that prevailed at the end. And they, when they brought all the waves into that little glass box. And they turned it and they said that at a catastrophe of a natural disaster of such a magnitude would have had waves about 80 to 100 feet high. Did you ever see the tsunami? You remember seeing pictures of the tsunami in Japan? How did they? I remember one particular picture that there was one of these great big house living yachts, Brother Doug, 100 feet long, bigger than this church. Huge lot. It was sitting on top of a building. How did the water came in and picked that thing up, took her three stories and set her right down as pretty as you please on the top of a house, right on the top of that building. I'll tell you that nothing can stand it. They can't take this magnitude. Would have been more catastrophe and more powerful than anything the world had ever seen or ever will see again of this magnitude. But yet I want to tell you that Noah's boat floated. Noah's boat prevailed. But there were some things it took to get there. There were some things that had to be done. For when the battle rolled and the floods raged and the waves overtook it, that his boat stayed afloat. They said that the waters would literally, they'd have been times where it was possible, not telling you it did, just giving you some thought here today, that it's possible that Noah's boat could have even turned over, could have rolled because of the catastrophes, or because of the waves rather. They said that all of these things, but one of the things that I was so pleased about, God's Word always proves true, Brother Doug, that no matter what waves they put inside the little glass box, they couldn't sink the ark. They couldn't turn, they could roll it, they could flip it, but it didn't take on water. It didn't overflow, it didn't go to the bottom. And when the waves come, the boat was floating upon the water. I want to ask you today, in the day of judgment, will your boat float? Will you be able to stand before the Lord and say, I've done all that I know to do, and be found faithful in the day of judgment? Will your boat float? Now I'd like, if the Lord will help me, to go down through these couple chapters here in Genesis and just reaccount these actions. I got four simple principles that I wish to draw, but the first thing we need to do is look at the story. I want to refresh your mind and just let you see some things. You got a highlighter, you might want to take a little bit of note here this afternoon. And if you're writing your Bible, write it down. Mine kind of looks blue and yellow and black and everything else because it's just the more you write, Brother John, the more you cover it up. Well, that's interesting. Next thing you know, you got a whole page of blue and green and yellow. Six. Let me paraphrase chapter 6, get down to verse 7. The world is filled with ungodly men. Yeah. They have created such sin and such catastrophe upon the world that destruction of the human race, annihilation, is inevitable. Right. It's going to happen. Yeah. See, that's what happens with sin. The more sin reigns, the more destruction comes with it. It'll destroy us. That's why God said go in and kill the Canaanites. Amen. Don't kill just the Canaanites, but kill their women. Kill their children. Kill their fathers. Kill the animals. Kill it all. Because sin had become so rampant that bestiality was among those nations. That disease had fell among the animals and among the people. And God said they'll wipe off the world, so annihilate them. Amen. Why? Because sin brings destruction.
That's right.
And destruction and violence field. There's an increase. Have you visited the sheets over there? I can't remember the road that road, Doug, you tell me always to go to Sam's. It brings you out there at Sheets there. What's the name of that road in Greenville? Fire Tower. My wife told me the other day over there at that Sheets that there's more murders there than in any place in Greenville. At that Sheets. Wow. Public place, open. Cameras everywhere, everything. But I want you to know something. Cameras don't mean much when men are given to violence. When men are given to sin, it doesn't matter whose eyes are looking. It doesn't matter where they're at or what it's going to. They're going to do their response. Maybe the Bible says that they're natural brute beasts. They give themselves to their own passions and they don't care. That's where the world was. The world was filled with violence and the angels come down and lay with the daughters of men. And now there's great and mighty men. And God says in verse 5 that the wickedness comes up before Him and He hated it that He even made man. He wants them gone. And repented the Lord, verse 6, that He had made man on the earth and it grieved Him in His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I've made them. He creates something, but sin in just a short time has destroyed His creation. Verse 8, but Noah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you today, are you a Noah? In the face of pending judgment, that's where we are. In the face of the Lord bringing judgment to this country and to this world, are you a Noah? Are you a Noah? Now bear with me. I got some thoughts this afternoon. Just hang on. Don't get tired. I'll try not to linger here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. God said, and lo, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, runes shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is under the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast shalt thou take to thee by sevens, and male and his female. And the beasts that are clean, 2 by 2, male and female. The Lord gives Noah some commands. Familiar scripture, correct? It's been a while since you read it. He gives him some specific instructions on what he needs to do. And the first thing I want you to see is God gives Noah this information. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. I've looked around, Noah, and everything I've found has been filled with violence. They have corrupted the animals. They've corrupted the earth. They have destroyed everything. And it repents me that I've made it, and I'm going to destroy it. In the face of judgment, Noah had two decisions. He either believed it or he didn't. In the face of judgment, do you believe it or not? Do you believe the Lord's coming or not? Do you accept that God said that He is coming as a thief in the night? Brother Doug Dunn read it. This is where we're headed. This is where we are. The handwriting's on the wall.
Oh, yes.
Over the book of Romans. The first point I wish to share is this. We are facing the judgment of God. God's judgment is upon us. It was upon Noah. And Noah had two options, accept it or reject it. But yet we in Romans, we read that first chapter, Brother Al. We go down through the list. And you see where men begin to do what this young lady did that Brother Al mentioned this morning. They begin to practice sexual activity outside of the laws of God. Heterosexual activity comes. And God gives them over to uncleanness. God says, okay, you want to defile yourself, man, with woman? Go ahead. That's what I'll let you do. Paraphrasing here. Then the second stage comes. And now they're not happy with just man with woman. Now they have man with man, women with women, and homosexuality and sodomy comes along. And God says, okay, that's what you want. You can have vile affection. He gives them over to that mentality. The third stage comes. Now it's just that they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe my mind doesn't think as deep as some others. But when you start looking at these gross sins as fornication and adultery, and you start looking at sodomy and homosexuality and lesbianism, those are pretty gross sins, Brother Doug. Those hold some pretty high regards. And then you get to the last one where it just simply says men don't like to think about God. Don't seem quite as vile, does it? In the natural. When you look at it in a natural sense. But there's a problem. When men don't like, just a little bit happens, okay? You want vile affection, that's what you get. But when men don't like to retain God in their knowledge, He goes on and gives a 26 answer list on what happens, okay? If you want it that way and you don't even want to think about God, adultery's coming. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, murder, deceit, backbiter, haters of God, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. What you do is when men no longer want to think about God, it is opens the doors for all sin. When they don't want God in their mind, they don't want to be surrounded. Okay, taken out of our schools. We don't want God there. You might offend someone and we need to take it out of our schools. Okay, well that's fine, but now we don't even want it in our pledge. Take God out of the pledge of allegiance. We don't want Him in our nation at all. Alright, in our judicial system, in the sense of judgment, we need to take God out of our courtrooms. Take those commandments off the wall. Oh, we haven't been far enough. Let's take it off our money. We don't even want our monetary system to reflect the image of God. We don't want to think about God. We have come to the final stage and we've opened the door wide for all manner of sin to come to our nation and to destroy us. We are standing in the face of judgment. How will we respond? Let me ask you this. If Noah had rejected that principle, if Noah would have rejected God and said, oh, I don't believe that God, it rain, what's rain? But I'm using Brother Doug the other night, Wednesday night, he shared it well. Over there in Rome, Hebrews chapter 11 and 7. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. What would have happened if Noah had said, well, Lord, that don't even make sense. It goes against rationality. It goes against natural law. Natural law says, what's rain? It never rained. Noah could have rejected it and said, that's all a hoax. It's not real. That's not coming. But in the day of judgment, his boat wouldn't have floated because his mind wouldn't have been right with God. I want to ask you today, when you stand and the Lord raptures the church, will your boat float? Will you be ready to go? Do you believe? Where do you stand? Judgment is inevitable upon us. Do we accept it or reject it? Do we look at it as a far off future event, thousands of years away, and we've got all this time to live? We're young. I want to live and have children. I want to tell you, wake up. The handwriting's on the wall. We don't like it. We don't want God in our knowledge. We don't want God in our churches. We don't want God in our school. We don't want God in our nation. Judgment is inevitable. In the face of judgment, will your boat float? What mentality do you have to the coming of the Lord? Brother Woods asked it. What do you really believe? What do you really believe about the baptism? What do you really believe about external standards? Do you do it because the church does it or because it's right?
Come on, come on.
Am I making any sense? When you stand in the day of judgment, will your boat float? I told you the other night I had a confrontation with some family members. I'm going nose to nose, Brother Al. Fired up. Whip, get me a whip. Get me a whip. I'm ready. My wife saw a little picture the other day of a little squirrel. His face was all red and he was all mad and he had a stick and it said, man, I wish she was in pinata. Well, if they hear it, praise God, they need to hear it. I'm going to say it. I was reserved, but I want to tell you. Some family members made fun of our holiness women up there in Pentecostal in West Virginia at that church. Said our women sounded like a bunch of Muslim women up there. La, 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 la. Brother Al, come out of there. I got right in his nose and I said, you went too far. You've went too far. You've went beyond the board. My righteous indignation went too far. And I looked at him and I said, you can live any way you want to live. But in the day of judgment, I'm going to stand on the side of right. Because my boat is going to float in judgment.
Right, brother. Go ahead. Preach. Yeah.
Message hitting little home, Sister Angela. It ain't a game, church. This is reality. It's where we are. What do you believe? Is there a problem? If there's a problem in the doctrines of God, let's get it right. Let's get move on, Brother Doug. Let's get out of our circle, our box, our square, whatever you're in. We got to go forward. Judgment is pending our lives.
Right, amen.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Had a young lady look at me, getting ahead of my message, but I just feel led to do it. Looked at me. We told her, you need to do this with your children. This is how you need to correct them. This is how you need to discipline them. That won't work. That don't happen. I looked at her and I said, all right. When they're 15, come back and tell me how much it wouldn't have worked. When they end up pregnant, tell me how much it wouldn't work. Or they bring home some disease, tell me how it wouldn't work. Or your children are spitting in your face and they're slapping you because they're rebellious against the truth in the day of judgment. Will your boat float? What ideas do you hold that in the day of judgment are they going to float or are they going to sink? What do you believe in? Where do you stand?
Go ahead.
What about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What about your sons and your daughters being saved? What about this old time way? Come on, what about reaching out to the lost and being good to your neighbor that you don't like? Be good to all men, especially to the household of faith. What about these ideals will sink us? I'm a little forceful here this afternoon, but I honestly have no person. I want you to know that because y'all looking at me like, man, he's getting on me. I ain't getting on you. I'm just passionate about this thing. I'm just a little excited. I'm happy to know that Sister Angela, in the day of judgment, that my boat can float. It don't have to sink. It can ride the waters and the waves. I don't have to be led astray. I don't have to miss it. When God's judgment comes, I can make it.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should kind of take it out a little bit. So I believe our church is trying. I believe we're on an upward stride. I personally believe that. A little chiding don't go, doesn't hurt, never hurts. That's what we're to do. We're to reprove, rebuke, exhort. There's time for encouragement. There's time for correction. It all got to be done. That's just the way that it is. But I can tell you, if they don't get it right, their boat's going to sink. And if you don't get it right, your boat's going to sink.
Amen.
We're facing the judgment of God. Verse 14 through 17. Let's notice it again. Somebody help me out just a little bit. If I don't get a little break here, I'm going to lose my voice and I ain't even got halfway started here. Somebody read 14 through 17. Brother John, won't you read it for me? Nate? Nate, could you get me a drink, please? Chapter 6, Brother John. Correct.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Broom shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without the pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it up. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee...
That's all right, brother. That's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Verse 13. I will, the last little line, I will destroy them with the earth.
Right.
Number one is pending judgment. Number four, verse 14, notice, make thee, shalt thou make. Verse 15, thou shalt make. Verse 16, thou shalt make. The last of verse 16, shall thou make it. Five times. Five times. Make it. Make it. Make it. Make it. Make it this way. Make it this size. Make it out of this wood. Thank you, sir. Make it out of this particular shape. Everything. Every detail.
Right.
To the right down to the very window. Where it went. How big to make it. Where to put the door. Everything. Why does that matter? You ever got off balance? I got up there on that steel about 150 feet. And I walked out there on that I-beam, Brother John. And I took one step from the column and I reached back and grabbed it. And I kind of slid to the bottom. And I sit there and he said, Emery, he said, Hispanic fella named Jose, wonderful fella. He said, you have to come off the column. Okay. We'll take it a little slow. We'll work on it. And we'll do it. My balance wasn't real good, Brother John. I got out there and I looked at that thing and the old knees went wobbling. And I knew that danger was inevitable. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. God tells him, you've got to make it this way. Why? Because it needed to be balanced. It had to be able to float. It had to be able, when the judgment came, to do what it was intended to do.
Right.
Point number two, God has a plan.
Amen.
God tells us how to live. God says, this is what you need to do. Make it this way. Judgment is coming. Now do this to prepare. Make the ark and make it this size. You know what God does? He looks at us and says, judgment is coming. What you need to do is first repent.
Right.
For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Man.
Judgment is inevitable. Get right with God.
Right.
And then what do? We add to those principles. We add to our faith virtue. And the virtue knowledge. And knowledge temperance. And temperance patience. And patience godliness. And godliness brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness love. What we do is we begin to grow. And we begin to alter our life. Why? Because God has a plan.
Amen.
But if we're not willing to obey, I command, our boat won't float.
Right. Amen. Go ahead.
Bible says we will love and keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous unto us.
Right.
What about God's commands are a hardship to you? To whoever. You know, you is everybody, right?
Right.
What about the Word of God do we not like? Because in the day of judgment, everything passes away, Brother Bonnie. But the Word of God abides forever.
Right.
There's one thing that's going to abide in the day of judgment. And I want to ask you, will you both float? Have you prepared the ark to the saving of your household? Have you built up the temple of the Lord? Have you followed the plan of God? Are we walking with the Lord? Because in the day of judgment, it depends upon your boat.
Go ahead.
Will your boat float? God's laws shouldn't be a burden to us. When we begin to look at the commands of God, which one do you want to throw away first? The old Methodist woman told Papa Woods in West Virginia. He looked at her and he said, "What do you do with that part, Methodist?" She said, "We close the book." Do you want to close the book or do you want to grow? I want to tell you something. If Noah would have closed the book, his boat wouldn't have floated.
Right.
He would have come to the end and he would have said, "I don't want, okay, Lord, I like the window idea, but we need a little remodeling job. I don't like that way. The elephant won't go there. I'm going to put him over here. That stall's too big. I'm going to do that way. We don't need three stories. We need four. We don't need three or four. We only need one." And God, he'd begin to alter the plan of God. I'll tell you, in the day of judgment, Noah's boat wouldn't have floated.
Right.
Why do we want to alter the book? Why do we want to change the plan of God?
Right,
God has a plan and it will depend upon your boat.
Right. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Good.
Man, so many principles. How do you concise this whole book in just one little principle? I could go through and tell you every little detail about husbands and wives and loving and raising children and attending church services and the clothes you wear and the job you work at. How many women have looked at you and how many times have you heard out there on the job force, "Well, I got to do this job, so I've got to wear this type of clothing. I've got to do this. I got to go." I had one cousin tell me that. I said, "Quit the job."
Right. Hey.
Why? Because in the day of judgment, your boat ain't going to float.
Right.
You don't have your mind where it needs to be with the Lord. Come on. Brother Doug's right. We get ourselves in trouble when we start getting outside of the will of God. When we don't start seeing and we get derailed. When we don't stay focused and we don't go to God in prayer.
Right.
My wife come to me and she said, "Emery, I think it's time we get a new truck." I hadn't been thinking about it. I've been kind of satisfied with that no payment thing. I like that a lot. No payments. A lot of privilege and pleasure in that.
Yeah.
But it's time. I need a truck. Man, the first day out, I found one. Oh, well, don't get in a hurry. Don't make a rash decision. How often do we go to make a decision and we don't pray?
Come on.
I said, "Sweetie, when have I ever went out and just jumped on it? On the first thing that comes by. If the Lord throws a gift in your lap, you know it. There ain't a question. If not, you better pray. You better look around. You better do some shopping." Why? Because I want my boat to float.
Right.
When I get a truck, I want to be able to pay for it.
Yeah.
I want to be one that's going to last me a while. I want to be one that's going to run me and do me and give me service. Why? Because judgment comes to those who disobey God.
Amen.
Paul wrote in Corinthians and said this, "I beseech you, that I may not behold you when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we have walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds."
All right,
here it is. Here's what those strongholds are. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What we need to do is reign in our mind. How do you view the Spirit? How do you view the world? How do you view the church? How do you view the doctrines of God? Because how you view them will depend on whether your boat will float. Come on. I've had to come to that conclusion over and over again. Okay. To a strong, hard-headed person that will not listen to reason in the Scriptures, and they think they're ready to fly away. They're as good as I am. Okay. Have it your way. Do it your way. That's my wife's new saying to me. Okay, have it your way. Have it your way. But in the day of judgment, will your boat float?
Come on.
Will your mentality about this doctrine, will it hold water? Or is it going to sink? How you view raising your children in the day of judgment, will your boat float? Or is it going to sink? Because God gave Noah a plan and said it's got to be done precisely to the plan. God has given us a word and we must follow it.
Amen.
And he goes on to say, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and everything of all flesh, too, of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Fowls after their kind and cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, too, of everything shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee food, and thou shalt gather. Verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house. Verse 2, thou shalt take. Very interesting layout of the words. I don't think it's coincidence. God had a plan. Notice what he says. Back up again in verse 18. Thou shalt come. Verse 19. Thou shalt bring. Verse 20. Thou shalt come. Verse 21. Thou shalt take. Verse 22. And Noah did. Thus did Noah. The third point. That the Lord gives unto Noah, and he tells him, is you must come to this safety. Yeah. It's one thing, Brother John, to begin to follow the plan, to begin to get it in practice. It's a whole other thing to keep it going, Brother Cottle. It's a whole other thing that when he gets to the end of the road and he's now worked for 100 and some years, and the boat's sitting right there all in front of him, and the animals are coming. Let me show you, just point out one very interesting thing. Verse 19. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring. That word bring right there is an interesting word. It's actually the same word come in verse 18 and then again in verse 20. So the better rendering of the word is this. And the animals shall come unto thee. That idea, literally, sometimes we get the idea that Noah went out and he gathered up all the animals. It's not what he did. He didn't do that. Matter of fact, the next verse verifies that because he says, they shall come unto thee. So literally he tells him three times, you're going to come and they're going to come. If we're going to make it, we got to keep coming back. God has an ark of safety. The sister said it right this afternoon. It's good for us to gather together. Why? Because there's safety in a multitude of counselors. There's safety when we can come together and agree as one with no divisions, no schisms, no argument, but studying the Word of the Lord. There's safety when we come into the ark of God. There's joy and pleasure. But Noah had to get on the boat.
Yeah.
We can't make you come to church.
Go ahead.
We can't make you pray. We can't make you read. It's up to you to go to the safety of God. It's your job to study the Word of the Lord. It's my responsibility to pray for me. If you rely on all the safety of the church, you missed it. Because you've got to come in. Noah could have said, okay, here it is. Take my family and go on. Noah stood there and waited. He'd have drowned. When the boat was floating, Noah had died. Why? Because he didn't get on the boat.
Come on, brother.
The day comes when you got to get on board.
Hallelujah.
You got to agree with it or get out.
Come on.
You got to agree or stay. Judgment's coming.
Yes, amen.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It's either get on the boat or drown.
All right.
Judgment's around the corner. We must get on the ark of safety. We got to come in where the joy of the Lord is found.
Hallelujah.
Glory! Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We've got to get on the boat. I preached this message in General Assembly. Camp meeting, one or the other. Camp meeting. He tells them, come into the ark. Come, animals, into the ark. Then he says another interesting thing. Okay, Noah, take food for yourself. You know, God didn't stock up the ark. No, sir. That was Noah's job. For the next year, according to most scholars, plus, Noah would be on that boat. And he had to have provisions for him, his family and everyone on that boat to make it. And God says, it's your job, Noah, to get it together. What good is it if you've got a doctrine right, but you don't prepare everywhere else? We might get it right one place and we fail in another. You've still failed. Noah would have still died in the day of judgment if he had not brought in the ark, the food that he needed. Come to the ark. Take. Come to the ark and take food for yourselves. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Oh, yeah.
Take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
My burden is easy.
Amen.
When the face of judgment, the answer is still the same. Come unto Him and take of His yoke. Come unto Him and take from Him. He's got what we need. The answer is there. So we haven't all got there yet. Have you made it?
No.
I ain't made it, Brother Mac. I ain't got it all right. There's more I miss than I get right. Brother Bobby, I fail more than I seem to be standing lately. But there's one thing I know. Jesus has got what I need. He has prepared a place for me that I can come to Him and take of Him and live and abide in the day of judgment.
Amen.
Come to Him and take. I don't think that's just a coincidence, Brother John. I really don't. I firmly believe that God knew what He was talking about. I know He was the one that's given the commands to Noah. He knows what was said. And He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon. It's our job in the day of pending judgment to come to the Lord and receive from Him. Are you glad that the provision is there? I'm glad that when I fall, that God can lift me up when I miss it, or I don't talk to my wife right, or I don't show up when I need on time, or I'm too harsh with my children, that God comes down and pricks my heart and says, the day of judgment is coming and you need to get right with God.
Amen.
You know, this is a lost message about the judgment of God. You don't hear that so much anymore, Brother Bob. That there's a hell waiting for men. That we're facing pending judgment. Why don't you just go back again and read the book of Revelation. Refresh yourself with what God's about to bring upon this earth. Huh? What do you think about all the destruction? What do you think it's coincidence? The tsunamis and all the earthquakes that are happening? Now here's a little prediction, a biblical prophecy prediction that has already been told to us that I will now recite. The birth pains have begun.
Right.
They're going to get closer. They're going to get more intense.
Right.
They're going to get harder. And it's going to affect you.
Right.
And it's going to affect me.
Right.
What's it going to be when the Christ, you thought all those things is going to happen in the book of Revelation, Brother Cottle? They're going to start happening now. There's going to be tribulation now, but not great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God for deliverance.
Yes.
But at birth, there's extreme pain, but prior to birth, there's birth pains. Pain is still pain.
Right.
So if it's going to be hard, then it's going to start getting hard. And it's going to get worse, Brother Bobby. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. And the day when the baby's to be born, out of here.
Right.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's what God said.
Yeah.
The birth pains are coming. Are we coming to Him? Are we getting on the ark? Are we getting prepared for what's about to come our way? Have we got out of our box? Are we going forward? Have you been derailed? Will your boat float in the day of judgment? Are we going to make it? Y'all falling asleep on me. Wake up. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory!
Amen.
Judgment's coming. That should make you happy.
Amen.
That should make you happy. That means
Amen.
That redemption's nigh. It's around the corner.
Amen.
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Let me hit this last thing while you're standing there. It ain't going to hurt you to stand with me for a few minutes. You had the blood flowing. You might jump up and fall down now. All that blood in your legs like that. Praise God. The fourth thing is we have to take now. I done preached it. I done preached it. We got to take His provision. Done said all that. Let me jump down here. Got Bibles? Pull them up. Get them up there. Verse chapter 7. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Eyeballs are starting to fall down there about your shoes. Verse 5 of chapter 7. And Noah did all according to unto all that the Lord had commanded him. Let me back up in verse chapter 6, verse 22. I need to get every one of them. Verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all the commandment of God. Woo! Or that God commanded him. So did he. Verse 5 again. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 9. As God had commanded Noah. Verse 16. And they went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded. Verse 18. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. Chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah.
Yeah.
Will your boat float?
Come on.
There's only one reason that Noah's boat floated. Because he did all that the Lord commanded.
Amen.
Glory!
Amen.
It's not hard, Brother Al. This thing ain't hard to follow. Just follow the commands of God. And in the day of judgment, your boat's going to float. You're going to be happy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. I want my boat to float. I want to make it. And all it takes is one thing. And did as the Lord commanded. Here's the law. Here's the way to do it. And Noah did. And Noah did. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
That makes me happy.
Amen.
That it don't take a rocket scientist, it don't take a Bible scholar to know the book. Well, glory!
That's right. Praise God.
God's good.
Amen.
God's good.
Yeah.
And Noah built an ark by faith. I like that. Brother Doug preached that message in camp meeting. Because of faith.
Right. Right.
If you've got faith, it'll have an action.
Yeah.
You'll put it in. What you'll do is you'll build an ark. You'll build an ark of safety. You'll learn the doctrines. You'll change the thoughts. You'll bring them into captivity. You'll begin to alter. Brother Gordon said it right. He said, what we need to do is we need to get rid of all those old things. I want to find better ways to have my time. Better thing. He said, but stopping all those old things, Brother Emery, it ain't enough. I got to replace them with something good. Why? Because we got to tear down the strongholds. We got to tear it out and bring into every captivity, every imagination that would exalt itself above God. I want my boat to float. I want my thinking right. I want my family right. I want the church right. Judgment is coming.
Yes, amen. Yes, right.
Noah did as the Lord commanded.
Yeah.
I know it did as the Lord commanded. Why did he walk with God? Because he did what the Lord commanded. He obeyed the book. He obeyed the laws of God.
Hallelujah.
And what happens in the end? His boat floats. His boat floats. He was able to make it to survive because he did what the Lord commanded. Now all that stuff I've been saying is just right there. That's my message. Noah did what the Lord commanded, and his boat floated.
Yeah.
End of story. In the face of judgment, when everyone's against him, when all of them, Noah had family, it tells us his lineage. When everyone else but his immediate family had abandoned him, they didn't believe him, they thought he was a kook, they left everything, his friends forsook him. Everything about Noah was he was all on his own, Brother Bob. He didn't have a friend in the world. The Bible says Noah found grace, not Noah and his sons.
Right. Yeah.
Noah.
Yeah.
That tells me that Noah probably more than likely had some trouble on the home front. But Noah would put it this way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you want to get on this boat, then you're going to obey God.
Yes.
And you're going to work.
Yes.
And you're going to pitch. And you're going to plow. And you're going to gather. And if you think we're going to do any differently in the day of judgment, you've missed it. We have fallen off our rocker if we're not ready to plow, if we're not ready to labor, if we're not ready to forsake some others, if we're not ready to change our mindsets about some things, then your boat won't float.
Right. Come on, brother.
Have I made any sense this afternoon? I'm excited about what God is doing right here.
Yeah.
He's given us some of the best people, I can tell you, in all the world, right here. Do you believe that?
Well,
I look around, there ain't nobody lazy among us. We're not slothful. We're willing to grow. We're willing to change. But I'm telling you, we better not get derailed. We better not lose focus because your boat won't float. You better stay on tax. You better be willing to get out. You better be willing to change some of those old mentalities. I'm telling you, I've seen mentalities change since I've been here in the last going on 7 years. I've seen people's minds change. I've changed. I'm not the same. I'm glad. That's growth. That's what it is. Why? Because I want my boat to float.
Right, amen.
I want to make it. I want us all to stand in glory one day, Brother Mac, and say, Brother Mac, we made it. We're here. Hallelujah. Our boat floats.
Yeah. Man.
For Jesus pilots my ship.
That's right.
I'm glad that I'm not alone in this. I've got you. And I'm glad we're not alone because we've got God. And we can make it. The boat don't have to go down. And if it goes down, I'm going kicking and screaming. If I'd have been on the Titanic, I'd have been the last guy on the top rail because I don't want to get in the water. I don't want to die. I want to make it.
Right.
Why? Judgment's coming.
Yeah.
Then why do you not want to fight and dig in now? Let's fight.
Yeah.
Let's go forward.
Right.
Let's grow. Let's change. Judgment's around the corner. Let our boat float.
Yeah, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I could go just a little bit longer, a little bit longer, but that's all I need to do. Somebody say it with me. Will your boat float?
Will your boat float?
Oh, that was good. That was even better than with me. Do it again.
Will your boat float?
Praise God. The next time you got a decision to make, just look up to God and say, Lord, will my boat float?
Amen.
Because if it won't float, you better leave it alone.
That's right. Amen.
The next time something's preached, waller it around a little bit and say, okay, Lord, if I do this, will my boat float? Huh? Oh, I don't know, Brother Woods. That there's a little bit fishy to me there. I think you're going a little bit off your rocker there, Brother Doug. Oh, it's a little bit too far. Go back to the book and say, okay, is that man's boat going to float, or is he a coot and fell off the apple tree?
Come on.
Because you want to know something. If you've done it right, your boat will float.
Right.
If the doctrine's right and the command's right, when the day comes, it'll float.
Right. Amen.
It'll float.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, I'll just say it one more time. I like that. Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Praise God. I mean that today.
Yeah.
And the boat went upon the water.
Yeah.
He's floated. The boat floated. Why? Because he did what he was supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Just magnify the Lord a moment, would you? Lord, I thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. God, for your word, your power, and your spirit among us. God, that we can grow, that we can change in your image. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for this church and for this people. God, that we're changing and we're growing into your image. Thank you, Lord. God, that your word's alive and well. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, God, that judgment won't overtake us. God, that we don't have to be overwhelmed in that day. God, we can have your presence. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence to us. God, that you're with us and you help us. Hallelujah.
Wonderful day to be in the house of God.
Yes, amen.
Among the saints of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're a privileged people to be in a church the way we believe. To have men that can go to this book and say, okay, why do we do that? Take just a moment and open that book up and say, right here's why. That's a privilege. We talked about denominations at lunch today who do what they do because of tradition, because it's habit, because families did it. But we're in a group that says, okay, what does thus saith the Word of God?
Right.
And if we don't have it just right or we can't explain it just right, we'll study and we'll pray and we'll get it. And then maybe in a few years we'll have to change it a little bit, Brother John. But what we want to do is know the book and we want to obey it. That's a privilege.
Amen.
I don't know if we know how much that is a privilege. To have the men and the people that are willing to submit to that. We're a blessed people. To hear the singing and the praises that we have and the giving that's given. We're a blessed people. And I want to keep on keeping on.
Yes.
I want to go to the end. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be right here in the days of Noah and the days of pending judgment and miss it. Miss it. What a shame. What a shame. Catastrophe it would be if our boat would sink when we've come so far. I don't believe that's going to happen, Brother Cotton. I believe our boat's going to float.
Amen.
If you believe your boat's going to float, won't you just raise your hand?
If
you believe you're going to make it, and I'm telling you, that's a privilege. That's a privilege to know that I can make it.
Hallelujah.
I know I'm on my way.
Right.
I'm on my way to glory. With God's help, I'm going to make it.
Amen.
With God's help, I'm going to make it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody have something you'd just like to say? Has anybody got something on your heart this afternoon? I want to open it up to you.